This is a KTSW News special report on the Fort Hood shooting. I'm Warren Shore alongside Sky Wallace. This is what we know. Today at 4:30 p.m. Central Time, the shooter identified as Ivan Lopez, 34, entered one building and opened fire. Then he got in a car and shot from the car before he entered another building, where he was engaged by military personnel on the campus before he inflicted himself with a gunshot wound. The shooting lasted 10 to 15 minutes before he ended his life. Four people are dead, three victims, one, and then Ivan Lopez, and 16 people are injured. Lopez used a 45 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-automatic, and the 16 people that were injured were transported to Scott & White Memorial Hospital. They currently have seven patients who are males, one is a female, and three of them are in critical condition, and five are in serious condition, and all of those patients are in ICU. As you know, in 2009, Fort Hood also had a very deadly shooting with 13 people died then, so this is very short from what they had then.
Yeah, and definitely something similar that they're seeing. Unfortunately, this is a terrible tragedy that's going on, and you know, luckily they were able to shut it down pretty quickly. Like they said, this is a very large base here in Killeen, about 2 hours north of Austin. So Fort Hood's a very large base. Like we said, the shooter was going from a building to a car to another building. They aren't sure at this time how he got the rifle, the semi-automatic rifle, onto the base. You are not allowed to have concealed hand weapons on military bases. So at this point, it is a bit of a concern to the personnel at the military base how he got the weapon onto the base. But for now, that's pretty much what we know as far as weapon goes.
We also have three reporters on the scene that were at the Lieutenant General Mark Milley's press conference. We were listening downstairs, and he said that he was being treated for mental health issues. That is Ivan Lopez, who was the shooter, and he also served 4 months in Iraq in 2011. That was just some of the stuff we heard the Lieutenant General telling us about, and we will try and get some sound from our three reporters there. I think they're driving back right now, but we'll try and get some sound for you later on in the show. We don't know how long we're going to be on, so we'll keep you updated for what we know.
Yeah, so far that we know, the motive is not clear at this point. PTSD is being thrown out as one of the possible psychological issues going on. But other than that, he was never diagnosed with PTSD. The shooter was just undergoing some psychological testing. So at this point, there is no motive. There's no indication of terrorism as far as if it was a terroristic, you know, plot going on. There's no indication of that right now.
Investigators aren't ruling anything out, though. They don't want to jump to conclusions or anything, which I think is always good to do in an investigation like this. So they're not ruling anything out.
Yes. And the shooter was not in the process of being transferred. However, he was transferred from another base at an earlier point, but he was not being transferred to any other base or on a tour. So at this point, he was I guess a regular part of the base. He was there prominently for the most part. So at this point, yeah, he probably was known pretty well in the base as well. And also, as far as the Lieutenant General having a press conference, the doctors had a press conference as well, the doctors at Scott & White. Dr. Matthew Davis was one of the prominent doctors speaking, and he was actually there for the 2009 shootings as well. He made a statement saying Army members are resilient. They have been, they were in the 2009 shooting, and they have been today. And for all the conscious people that were injured right now, they have been very resilient and very positive, according to the doctors there. So hopefully that brings the doctors and other members that are still injured some hope, and hopefully some positive feelings, because this is an absolute tragedy, especially for a base that has had such a tragedy only a few years ago.
Yeah, and I saw something earlier that he was wearing a military uniform too, and that all of the victims were also in military gear. So he blended in with the whole, with everyone that was at Fort Hood on the military base and everything like that.
Yeah, like I said, he was definitely a regular member of the Army. He was on the base regularly. So, you know, the indication right now, as I said, there's just no rhyme or reason at this point. It's pretty hard to believe why somebody would do something like this. And going from building to car to building, like we mentioned, it's very scary
and the
situation.
The base is 335 square miles, and that's a very large base. They also have 10 entry points, too, so they don't know, since he was already on the base, it's not like he just entered. But still, if he would have entered, there are 10 entry points, and it would have been hard to detect which one he would have came in. If it was albeit a civilian, obviously it wasn't someone trying to do this, but still, it's a very large military base.
Also, you have to present a military ID to get onto the base at any checkpoint that you arrive at. So he had to present his military ID, was probably in military garb, and unfortunately, they just don't know how he got the weapon onto the base. Like we mentioned, 45 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-automatic rifle. So pretty large weapon to carry onto a base, especially a base that doesn't allow concealed handguns or any weapon of any sort. So definitely a really crazy situation going on.
And President Barack Obama was at an event in Chicago tonight, and he said that he is heartbroken that something like this would have happened again, and he ordered a full investigation. I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary of what the president would do, but he released a statement. Also, Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, released a statement saying this is a terrible tragedy, and he also said he's currently monitoring the situation. If anything happens, if they need any resources, the federal government will supply those resources and everything. And I should also say this, I've already said this earlier, the all-clear signals went off at just before 9 p.m. So the initial shots started at 4:30 Central Time, which is our time here, and the all-clear sirens didn't go off till just before 9 o'clock. So while the shooting only lasted 10 to 15 minutes, they still had to sweep through the entire base to make sure there was no other suspect, because some initial reports said there could have been two suspects at first. So and also in the day and age we live in with the media, with Twitter and all that stuff, that's why some of this information gets a little hairy, and you really have to wait for like the lieutenant general to come out and really give us what the true information instead of reporters. Every reporter wants to be the first one to get it out, so they'll just throw out anything they got, hoping it lands. And even in a situation as serious as this is, they're still going to do that just so they can claim it was right. So the facts that we have are from the lieutenant general, and I don't think he's going to give us any wrong information. That's not who they are.
A question in a lot of people in the back of their minds, of course, is gun control. Will this bring up the argument of gun control again? Because the military has a strict policy of not carrying guns on military bases, like I mentioned. But is this going to bring up another issue of gun control? Because, like mentioned, this was a semi-automatic rifle. This was definitely not a small weapon by any sort. So, what are your thoughts, Warren?
I think it's going to bring it up, but it seems like whenever we have one of these mass shootings, it comes up strong, like a week or two after the event, and then it kind of tails off. It loses steam. This is what happened in Newtown. Like, it was strong for like a month, and then the gun control kind of fizzled out, like the national debate. And I really hope that doesn't happen, because we keep seeing these events, and I know some people don't want to. They don't, in their mind, they're pro-gun, and I'm not going to give my point of view on the air, I don't think, but I think it's going to be easy to figure out. But I don't think that some of those people have trouble getting it through their mind that we have an issue, I think, at least with semi-automatic and, like, assault rifles to civilians. And I think that is the main thing that needs to be discussed. If you have a handgun license or something like that, I think that's fine. But I just think the debate of assault rifles and semi-automatic needs to be talked about more than what it is.
This weapon was also an unregistered weapon, so it was a weapon purchased pretty recently to the shooting as far as we're concerned, and it was an unregistered weapon, according to the lieutenant general. So, again, another issue of gun control. Of course, we live in a red state, so obviously gun control, isn't a huge discussion here. But it's pretty interesting to note that there has been a similar shooting to this a couple years in the past. And a lot of the shootings that we have seen have more been up north where there are strict gun control laws, especially in Washington, D.C., states like that who have
very
strict gun control laws about where you can carry and when you can carry. So, you know, it like we've been mentioning, it does bring up the debate of does it matter if you have gun control laws or not? Is it really going to make a difference in this impact? You know, we have somebody here who is obviously suffering from some psychological issues, who's undergoing some testing, no confirmation on PTSD or any sort of psychological issues, and he was not wounded on his tour in Iraq. So, you know, safe to say that he came back at least physically healthy, but undergoing some mental evaluation there. So, you know, brings up an issue, too, about gun control as far as registering people who are undergoing psychological evaluations or have any kind of mental trauma. What do you do in situations like this, who somebody coming back from Iraq as a veteran, as somebody who has served our country, but you don't give them rights to have a gun? You know, it throws up an interesting debate.
It does, and that's why I think background checks is one thing maybe that could be implemented, not just so people don't have to take away. They still have the right for a gun. They just have a background check. So, you know, instead of, I know that's something the president wants to do, and I think that's a step in the right direction, I think, for the country. And I think that will get people who are pro-gun and then are for gun control, that both sides can agree. While it'll be tough for them to agree, they can agree on that common ground that they have.
It's the best of both worlds for essentially both parties there. But like we mentioned, no indication of terrorism. Obviously, they're not ruling anything out at this point, but you know, it's definitely difficult to believe. Last incident in 2009 showed some psychological issues going on with the shooter in that instance, some possible psychological issues in this instance. So, you know, in situations like this, it's really hard to react as well as the Army did. 10 to 15 minute reaction point. You know, the brave woman
officer.
There's a woman
that stopped them, yes.
That stopped the shooter and, you know, stood in front of him. Definitely some brave people that are, you know, trying to stop tragedies like this from happening or from going even further than it already has.
And in the press conference that the lieutenant general had, a reporter asked him what he thought about the person that stopped the shooter. And he's like, we wouldn't expect anything else from our Army people. That's what they're trained to do. So they're not really surprised about that. Honestly, I don't want to say I'm not surprised, because I think that's what they're trained to do, and that's just how their mind works. They're not like us. They're not robots.
Well,
I'm not saying they're robots, but their minds work differently than...
Sure, they're trained.
Yes,
this is an aspect they're trained at, and you think regular civilians being in a situation like this, completely different as far as to reaction time. The panic would have been much more widespread, whereas you have these trained soldiers who have been in situations possibly just like this, and even maybe foreign countries where they're out of their comfort zone, and maybe now they're in their comfort zone. They're in Texas. They're on a base where they feel more comfortable. You have situations where you have these people, you know, just taking these situations very seriously and stopping them. So it's very, you know, heroic to see these things going on, especially a woman getting in front of a male shooter who is already, you know, gunned down a building, shot out of a car. You know, at that point, they probably had no idea what was going on as far as to the death toll, the amount of injuries. I know some of the injuries weren't even just gunshot wounds. They were glass hitting people, some, you know, severe cuts. Somebody was trying to jump over a fence to get away from the shooter and injured themselves that way. Multiple other different injuries. So, you know, it's definitely a heroic person to stand in front of a shooter with a very large gun and say, you know, we're not going to do this. So,
and the general said at the end of his press conference that there will be continuous updates throughout the days ahead. It didn't sound like he was going to come out again and speak tonight, but I would assume tomorrow morning sometime he would speak, and then maybe tomorrow evening. Just the way they usually do it, maybe one like around 11 or 10 o'clock and then one at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, just so they get the gaps of what happened overnight and then throughout the day, because they're not going to release the information sporadically. And so that's something that he said was going to happen, because they want the public to know what happened. That's what he said. He's like, we want to get the facts out, not what the reporters are saying and everything.
Yeah, and the you know, something interesting too that the Lieutenant General had said was not only did he have some mental health issues possible, he had some behavioral health issues as well. So some, you know, maybe some keys as far as to some motive or some kind of you know, potential.
He was going under. They were testing him too for those, they said. So, but he wasn't diagnosed with anything, but he was going under test currently.
Yes, for PTSD is what they made known, but other possible psychological issues. So at this point, you know, not too much on motive, not too much on intent as far as to what was going on. But as far as we're concerned right now, three people were killed, as including the shooter, and 16 wounded. So at this point, that's unfortunately the toll right now. Not as large of a death toll as the 2009 shooting.
Currently.
Currently.
I hope it stays
really,
like this.
Yeah,
we
really
hope it stays like this, but it could, hopefully not, but it could. Currently, right now, it's three victims died, and then the shooter died with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So, and then there are 16 people injured. They're being treated at Scott and
Scott and White.
Scott and White Hospital in Temple. Where they the doctors had a press conference, and the doctor, we can get more into the doctor. We're going to take a quick break, and after that we could talk about more about what the doctor said, and he was actually the doctor in 2009, so we can talk about that and what maybe he's doing right after this break.
Welcome back to this special report, Sky Wallace alongside Warren Shore. We are updating you on the shooting at Fort Hood. The Scott and White Hospital in Temple, Texas is currently treating 9 patients. So far, 8 are currently there. 1 actually will be arriving shortly. 7 male patients, 1 female patient, and all patients are in the ICU, 3 in critical condition, 5 in serious condition.
You could probably, blood centers, they're encouraging people to go donate blood wherever you're at. So I would say tomorrow morning, they open at 8 a.m. You can probably call your Red Cross, your local Red Cross, to go donate blood. That's something that they need. They're always desperately in need of blood, but in a time like this, they need blood more.
Yeah, and the Scott and White blood center closed at 8 p.m. tonight if you're in the Temple area, but the blood donor center will be open from 8 to 7 p.m. tomorrow. So, and I'm sure there's, like you mentioned, multiple different blood drives going on. So if you can, and you feel strongly about this situation, you know, give blood. Help a situation that is just a tragedy and so sad after the 2009 shooting. It's, like we mentioned, something that doesn't happen. You know, lightning doesn't strike in two places usually. So this is quite an interesting thing going on. Same place a couple years later. Not really sure about the same indications or anything right now. But
also tonight, there was a shooting at Kent State University, which is in just in northeastern Ohio. No one was injured there, and this is not they're not saying this was connected with the Fort Hood shooting. I just think of maybe just the events that, or I don't know the right word I'm looking for. Just a coincidence, I guess. And no one was injured in that shooting. They said a male suspect fired a shot into the ground around 9 p.m. in an academic building, and authorities were there. So no one was injured there. Just a coincidence. There is no connection.
No correlation in the two events.
Yes. No connection, but...
But definitely a little bit of a bright spot as far as into our day goes. Nobody was injured in the gunfire that was shot at Kent State University. So that's great news
and
there.
In 1970, they had a big... They had a National Guard shooting there, too. So that's what most people think of. So when I saw that earlier, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. Like, oh, this is not, especially with the Fort Hood here, this is not something good. But luckily there, everyone at Kent State is safe.
Yeah.
But we teased, I guess if you want to call it a tease, talking about the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor, you know, kind of like we mentioned, Dr. Matthew Davis, a doctor at Scott and White in Temple, was there for the 2009 shootings as well. He was the doctor, basically one of the first doctors that spoke in the press conference, if you were watching on TV, following along. And he just had some, you know, great statements to say about how some of the Army members were, are being very resilient, just as they were in 2009. A lot of the victims who are conscious right now only have positive thoughts for all the other families that, you know, have had some things happen, obviously, tonight, all the other victims. And, you know, it's very interesting to see the same doctor who's was treating patients in 2009 now treating the similar kind of incident, but different patients, obviously.
I guess so. If you could look on the bright side, he has experience in this type of thing, I guess, so it's not like a first, it's not his first time doing this, so he already knows the, I guess, how maybe traumatic the patients are going to be coming in for something like that, so he's not, this is not his first time, this is not his first go-around, so he knows how to handle these type of patients, and any, if he was doing surgeries or anything like that, he didn't specify. I think some of them were going into surgery, but I don't want to speculate or anything like that. But if he was to perform surgery, he wouldn't. He obviously is a doctor, so he doesn't. He's fully trained, but like going back to the traumatic and maybe trying to hold a conversation or something like that. He knows how to handle himself since he was the doctor in 2009.
Yeah, all we know at this point is two victims are out of surgery. Not really sure how many more may go in or, you know, come out. It's just, at this point, two victims out of surgery. That's all we know. But like mentioned, still lots of victims in the ICU, hopefully recovering well at this point, four dead, including the shooter. Hopefully the death toll does not rise any higher. And the 2009 shooting was 13.
Yes.
Dead. So, not there yet, luckily.
And that shooter, Nadal Hassan, was sentenced to death on August 28, 2013. So, obviously, Ivan Lopez, the shooter in this one, is not going to be undergo trial because he shot him. He
took
his own life. So, he will not have to face a trial. That's another thing that we see in these. They take the cowardly way out. At least he did, if you can look at it like that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, definitely the thoughts are running through my mind. I can't look at it in any way for the shooter. I'm only thinking about the victims and definitely the doctors who are helping those victims because those are the people that really need your thoughts right now. As far as I'm concerned, this is definitely a very scary situation, not a typical situation and none that anyone should take lightly. And, you know, I hope at some point they begin to figure out some sort of motive. I'm sure they will search his home and try to figure out at this point what the idea was behind this shooting. Like we mentioned, going from building to car to building, not necessarily the same way the 2009 shooting occurred. So something a little different. It doesn't seem at this point that he was targeting someone either. So kind of a very random spur of events going on in a very large base.
All right, so we're going to sign off here at the top of the hour, but before we do that, let's just get a recap of what we already know coming in. The shooter has been identified as Ivan Lopez. He is 34 years old. He entered the shootings began at 4:30 p.m. Central Time. He entered one building, opened fire in that building, and then after he left the building, got in a car, opened fire in the car, then entered another building when he was engaged by military officials before dying of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The shooting lasted from 10 to 15 minutes. Three people died along with the shooter. He used a .45 cal Smith & Wesson semi-automatic, and the 16 people were injured, and all of those people have been transported to the hospital, where two of them are already out of surgery, and five are in critical condition, and three are in serious condition. And before we sign off, for more information on this, KTSW News Twitter feed all night we'll be tweeting. Our Facebook feed tomorrow morning, all night, we'll be giving you updates. And then we have our first newscast of the day at 10 a.m., and we will have all of the updates while you are sleeping there. So for Warren Shore,
And Sky Wallace, I just wanted to send a big thank you and a shout-out to the reporters who drove all the way to Fort Hood to get a lot of this credible information straight from the source. Obviously, KTSW News is your place to go for your current breaking news for the shooting. So stay tuned. Stephanie is going to bring it back with Before the Year 2000, and we will keep you updated with anything else we have.